Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 143. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 143, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 143, verses 1 through 6. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth mine hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us here. Lord, it is quite obvious that you enjoy being here, that the Holy Spirit has freedom here to work in our hearts. Father, please fill our preacher today with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May the message from heaven conveyed through the preacher go straight to our heart today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Just so you know, he wasn't really singing. That was a CD that we were playing up there. That's called Lip Syncing at Its Best. Thank you, Brother Bell. I read to you again a verse, one of the verses of the series of verses that you just read together with Brother Bush. The Bible says in Psalm 143, verse number 9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. In that verse, we find the title that I have put to today's sermon. I call it, I Flee Unto Thee. I flee unto thee. These words are spoken by David. David went through many trials. God's mercy is really shown to you and to me by the training that we have received from David's trials and David's testimony. We've all been bettered by David's personal and painful experiences. David's life virtually epitomizes the lives of many people in this day and age. Maybe then, when we are tried, it is a blessing to those around us. Maybe your trial is not all about you. Maybe your trial is all about those that are watching you. If that is so, then we should be honored to contribute to the training and the example to the rest of God's family. David's answer to his trial should be our answer as well. Well, what was the answer? The Bible says, I flee unto God. I flee unto God. You know, we can profit from our foes if we would imitate the great warrior named David. He escaped his enemy. How? By fleeing unto the Lord. Why don't we remind ourselves a little bit of the fleeing, if you will, and some of the difficulties that David had to face. Oh, some of the most common stories in the entire Bible are those stories of David in his growing up years and in his early years. David escaped destruction by a lion. How? By fleeing unto the Lord. You see, David was a shepherd to his father's sheep. A lion came to steal one of the lambs. David fled unto the Lord prior to fighting a lion. Now, what happened? David ends up defeating a lion. I mean, a man defeating a lion? That's not common. That's not how it usually works. Usually, the lion gets the lamb. Usually, the lion gets the man. But in this case, David defeated that lion. How did he do it? He had, before fighting the lion, he had fled to the Lord. And by fleeing to the Lord, he was able to face the lion. David also escape destruction by a bear. Once again, David caring for his father's flocks, a bear came, and a bear was going to try to steal one of the flock, and David had to fight that bear. But I can tell you how David whipped the bear, and he did. David defeated the bear, but usually the bear defeats the man. How is it that David fought a bear, and he conquered the bear? David, before fighting, had fled. Before fighting, he fled. To who did he flee? He fled to God. He fled to God, he got strength to fight the bear. He fled to God, he got strength to fight the lion. David also faced destruction by a big goon named Goliath. Goliath was at least 9 foot 9 inches tall. That is tall. That's a big, tall man. He would be playing for the NBA, making the big money. Now, David was going to fight this man named Goliath. David was a youth. I don't know how old David was at this time, but I'll promise you something. The only way a youth can defeat an almost 10-foot seasoned warrior of a man is before he fought, he fled. Before he fought Goliath, he fled. He fled to God to get the strength to fight Goliath, and he defeated Goliath. Not only that, David escaped destruction by a jealous king named Saul. You see, Saul was the king. Saul was the biggest man in the entire kingdom. Saul had become jealous over David and jealous about David and his victories and David's popularity. And Saul had vowed that he was going to get David. He was going to kill David. Now, let me say this. David didn't, he didn't want to touch God's anointed. He didn't want to mess with God's anointed king. So, to be honest with you, David fled. And David's fleeing was his fighting with Saul. David didn't want to hurt that king. So David fled. You know, there are just sometimes the best thing to do is to walk away. There are just sometimes when the decision is, I'm not to fight this thing, I need to walk away from that thing. David was not to attack God's chosen king. And so David fled unto the Lord, and his fleeing in that case was his fighting of the temptation to do wrong. Now sometimes we flee to places of protection and we don't get directly to God. Sometimes we take little detours. You take, for instance, there was a time when David was fleeing, but he fled thinking he would find security in a cave. A cave in Ziklag. Now let me read you a scripture about David's fleeing to a cave. Psalm 142, verse 4 and 5 says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Here's what happened. David was fleeing. David had a fear, and he was fleeing. And he fled to a cave, hoping that he would find the security and the strength that he needed there. But he said, I looked to my right. Nobody there to help me. I looked to my left. I was all alone. Nobody was there to help me. And then the next verse, David said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You know what David was saying? I ran. I hid in the cave, hoping to get the strength by running and hiding in the cave. I wanted that cave to be my refuge. When David got to that physical cave, he discovered that wasn't the protection that he needed. And while in the cave, David said, here I am in a cave, but I've not found the refuge I really need. In the cave of refuge, he called out to the real refuge. He said, my God, I need you. I've done what I can humanly to protect myself, but it's not enough. I need you to be my refuge. When I was growing up, we lived in a valley not far from our home. They called it the Massinawa Valley. There were a lot of tornadoes that would come through our part of the state, and I feared tornadoes. What would happen is, at our fire station, there was a certain signal that would go off if a tornado were coming through. And I had a certain fear of those tornadoes. We didn't have a basement. Our house had a crawl space on it, but if you went into our restroom, there was a door. My mom and dad called it the cubby hole. There's a little door that led into a little trap door so you could crawl up under that crawl space, and there were some pipes and some plumbing in there. Well, you know, I had decided that I knew one person in our house that was going to be safe if a tornado come through. You know, I had me an escape plan. I just, you know, I'd been in through there. You know, mom and dad said you really don't want to play in there. Well, I wasn't playing. This was serious business. I want to make sure that if I heard that tornado warning or that buzzer from up there at the fire station, I was safe. Oh boy, I remember one day, I don't know how old I was, I must have been 10, 11 years of age, and up at the fire station, you could hear that great big loud sound all over our town. That meant that there was a tornado warning, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? But I had a plan. I had me a plan. Boy, I ran into the restroom and shut the door and went through the little cubby hole door and shut the door and opened up the trap door and shut the door, and I dove down in there all by myself. And being the kind of guy that I was, I had no idea where anybody else in the house was, but I knew where I was safe. I got down there and I thought, where's my mom? Where's my dad? I'm alone. This is a safe place. And I remember saying, Lord, I'm scared. And I just don't feel safe enough. I need you. You see, I'd looked to my right and looked to my left. And I needed my dad in the hole with me. I knew that. But at first it seemed as if that my escape and everything that I had planned would be adequate for the security and the strength that I needed in the time of the storm. And God knows we need help from each other, but let me tell you something, each other's not enough. Just not enough. David, at another time in his life, found himself, he and his warriors were away. Actually away in battle, doing what the soldiers did. While David and the soldiers were away, the enemy, the Amalekites, came to the city where David and his men and their families were. What happened is the enemy came while David and the men were out of town and took captive everybody in the city. And the Bible says that when David's men discovered that all of their wives and all their children had been taken as servants and slaves, the men got angry. Let me read it to you. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. These men that were with David, they were so angry with David. They were blaming David that the city had been taken captive. They were getting ready to stone him. You say, what in the world did David do? I'll tell you what David had to do. You see, you have the enemy on the outside. They were bombarding David. Now, his friends on the inside are bombarding David. David said, if I go out, the Amalekites and the enemy, they're mad at me. They want to kill me. I go on the inside, and the men that are my actual right-hand men are all mad at me. And now they're angry, and they're thinking about stoning me. Where can I go? Thank God, David knew where to go, because the Bible says, he said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. When you feel like the people on the outside can't help, and you feel like the people on the inside can't help, I can tell you somebody who can help. And that's our God. That's our God. David, in this passage of Scripture from Psalm 143, he said, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee. Hide me. Oh, thank God. Thank God. David fled for encouragement and safety to the Lord. Now let's look. Let's look at what is essential for us let's use the same tactics that David did. Well, let's live the way David did in this important thing of fleeing unto the Lord. But I think there's some things I better point out to you about it first. You say, amen, let's flee the Lord. Well, there is a way to do it. Let's talk about that. First of all, let me say this. I flee unto thee because I see
danger. I flee unto thee because I see danger. See, no man will flee if he's not afraid. There must be a knowledge of danger before one flees. Oh, my friend, everybody here, if you're saved, we're in a spiritual warfare for the success of your Christian life. If you're not saved, there's a warfare for your soul and the fear of the destiny of a place called hell or the hope of a place called heaven. But just so you all know, there is something about which to fear. We are in a spiritual war. But there must be an apprehension of danger or there'll be no need for this thing of fleeing to the Lord. In Amos chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, "The lion hath roared, who will not fear?" The Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. No man flees unto God unless he sees the threat of injury. Sometimes we're a little too passive about the enemy. Sometimes we're just a little bit too passive about the danger in the spiritual war. Many a man has died because he could not see the invisible poison in the air that he was breathing. Many a passenger has died in the sea because the ship's captain did not see the jagged rocks on the reef. The people on the Titanic did not see the glacier that ripped the hull that caused many, many people to plunge to the icy cold depth that they faced. I wonder how many train crashes could have occurred where no one had a warning that the tracks were dangerously blocked. Ignorance of danger makes danger inevitable. I wonder how many people will die and go to hell without really fearing the fate of hell. How many people have no fear of God? How many people have no real observation that death could be today? How many people have no fear of a real devil? How many people have no fear that there is a judgment that awaits us after our death? My friend, you see, I flee unto thee because I see the danger. And no man flees that has not seen that there is something from which to flee. Sometimes we perceive danger, but we perceive it too slowly. This comes because the devil masks the danger with the sweetness of sin. Did you know the devil does not want to be feared? He wants to be friends. He masks the danger. That's where he trips us all up. He really doesn't want us to see the danger. Why? He does not want us to flee. He wants us to be his next victim. Young people, young Christians, listen to me very, very well. You need to learn to run. You need to learn to run. I know, you know, within the ego, it says, stand there and fight. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. I'm going to tell you something, young people, there are some of you, when you come up against that temptation that seems to be a little bit overwhelming, I would be careful leaving my place. I would be careful leaving. Well, let me put it this way. If I were you, there are certain moral temptations that are going to come your way as a young person. Don't try to conquer them. Run! Run! Some of you young men that are guarding your purity for your future, let me tell you something. Some sleazy gal comes along and starts making offers. If I were you, I wouldn't stand there and try to take the temptation. I'd get my duds and I'd get out of town, buddy. I'd get out of town. Greater men than you have fallen. Oh my, sometimes it's smart to flee. To flee. You know, Joseph, in the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife, Joseph, even a grown adult man, he said, when that temptation right there come knocking at my door, he said, I'm not answering it. I'm hightailing it out of the back door. What did he do? He fled. He fled. Children. Children must learn proper fear. Young Christians must learn proper fear. I flee unto thee. Why? I flee unto thee only if I recognize danger. Some of us need to wake up and recognize danger. 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 Look at it. Shake yourself. Realize you're in danger because of your behavior. You're in danger. You're placing yourself in a situation of temptation. You're endangering your future. Young Christians have got to learn proper fear. You know, I would let me give you a couple things that real quickly as a part of this point that I think we all need to learn is a danger. When I ask myself, what's a couple of dangers that people seem to bypass or they become numb to them or they're blinded to them? I'll tell you one, the danger of disrupting a revival. Talking about you get a church or you get a ministry that is in the midst of a revival and somebody comes along and they dare to jeopardize that or they dare to try to stop that. They dare to try to mess that up. I read the story from a great man from years gone by the name of Dr. John R. Rice. He was down in Texas preaching a revival. Some things had began to happen in a church and some wonderful things were occurring. A man said, John R. Rice, this revival will continue over my dead body. By the end of the week, that very man that had rendered that threat had died. They put his body in a casket down in front of the pulpit as the revival continued. And John R. Rice said, so be it. It is continuing as I stand over your dead body. We ought to know. We ought to be careful. There are certain fears. There were some children that were not taught the fear and the reverence of Elisha in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 24. There were some children that had not been taught that there should be a fear of touching or hurting the man of God. And they came out and they mocked and they teased Elisha. And the Bible says that God brought from out of the woods two bears and the bears mauled 40 children. Now let me say something. David, he feared. He fled to God. He defeated a bear. Some children were not taught the proper fear and respect. What happened? They didn't beat the bear. Oh my, we do not fear. Because one of the reasons that we do not fear, hey, if we would just fear the right things, we'd know there are times when you better flee to God for protection. You see, I flee unto thee because I see the danger. But secondly, I flee unto thee because I recognize my own weakness. Nobody flees to hide if they think they are strong enough to fight in their own strength. We are all weak and unable to fight sin and the devil on our own. There are some people that say to the devil, come on, I'll take you on, I'll tell you something. I don't want to take him on. I can remember one time playing wiffle ball with my little brother. And I remember my little brother had gotten into a tiff with another kid on the block. I remember when I got to first base where my brother was playing first base. And this other kid was coming after my brother. And I remember exactly what my little brother did. He stuck his dukes out like this for a second, stepped behind me, and said, come on, take us. Us! Us! And let me tell you something. When you see the devil coming at you, if I were you, I wouldn't step up and say, come on, take me on. You better step behind Jesus Christ and say, come on, take us. You can't handle him. Some cocky, arrogant Christianity and preachers that just seem somehow to think that they've got the devil on the run. There is one from which the devil runs, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has His number. The victory's won, but it's not won through me and you. It is won through He who is our victor and our captain. And I flee unto thee because I recognize my own weakness. Psalm chapter 6, verse number 2 says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Matthew 26:41 says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Those who think they're mighty within themselves are truly the weakest of the weak. Self-proclaimed strong people are a danger to themselves, their family, and others. Take heed, lest you fall. Flee to God. Don't flee to yourself. Right now, I'm teaching a series on the subject of character on Wednesday nights. And God knows our country needs character, but your character will never take the place of your Christ. Our past failures should teach us not to trust in our own strengths. Do you remember? Think back. Think back to the messes you've put yourself in. Think back to the chaos you've caused you. You and your wife, you and your husband, you and your kids, you and your parents, you and your church. Think back. And I don't say that. I don't say that to weaken you. Yes, indeed, we have victory through Jesus. But I think sometimes we need to look back to see how weak we are so we don't become cocky and arrogant thinking we can do this without our God. It's not, I'm not saying this to weaken your spirit, but to remind you of the truth about yourself. And I need to be reminded of the truth about me. Have you not failed enough to have learned that you're not strong enough? In self-fancied strength lies the worst form of weakness. There are some of you right now, you're up against the pressure of the East Coast Ladies Conference. Won't be long, somewhere between 120, 150 churches will come and we'll host them and serve them. And we'll put on a real shindig, but there's the pressure that goes into it. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And somebody out there right now saying, I don't think I can do this. I'm glad you faced that. Amen. You can. But you and God can. You flee to Him. You flee to Him. In a deep sense, our weaknesses are what can make us strong. Why? Because in our weakness we flee to Him and He becomes our strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10, the Bible says this, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." A couple of our grown children had birthdays recently. My son Joshua and JV, both these young men, had birthdays. And they were out at our house, and we were having a little get-together, which meant my granddaughter, Alexandra, was going to be there. I think everybody else was there, but I know Alexandra was there. We call her Alex. Alex and I play a lot. And Alex was trying to move a chair. Now, Alex is 2 years old, and she was not big enough to move that chair. It was a big chair. She grabbed a hold of that chair. She was determined to move that chair. You should have heard her. She was a grunting and a huffing and a puffing. You know how women can go overboard with the sounds that they make. I mean, you should have seen the strain on that little girl's face. Alex does not, she's working on making sentences, but she has learned that there are some one-word sentences. She looked at me when she was trying to move that chair and she said, "Help." Help. You know something? I went over and Alex and I together moved that chair. I'll be real honest. She wasn't doing much of the work. She was a grunting and pushing with all of her might as I was pushing that thing. And can I tell you something? To push the chair was easy for me. But to her, it was a big deal. The smartest thing that little girl could have done is turn to her grandpa and say, "Help! Help!" Now, I didn't tell her, "Alex, you just move and I'll take care of it." I said, "Honey, you push. We'll do this together." I'm going to tell all of you something. There are some times in life when what you need to do is you need to turn to your God and say, "Help! Help! Don't take your hands off. You keep pushing, but you get your God's shoulder behind the burden that you bear, and He'll come, and He'll start a pushing. You can grunt and groan and push all you want. He'll like that. But I'm just telling you, somebody here needs to say to your God, "Help! Help," you see. "I flee unto Thee because I recognize my own weakness." You know, I really believe this, and I wish I had more time to develop this thought, but there are some sins from which the only safe flight is to flee. I think sometimes victories come when we run. Because the victory is that we do not just flee from the wrong, we flee to the right, and we flee to our God. I wish I had time again to talk about it more, but there's some of you, there is some sin in your life, and it is a repetitive sin, and you're not conquering it, and you're not getting over it. If I were you, I'd run from it. I'd run from it. Quit trying to take it on nose to nose. Flee to your God. It may be that the fleeing is going to be the victory. Flee from your self-dependence to God-dependence. Hey, David said, I flee unto thee. But I say, no man flees until he sees the danger. I say, secondly, we don't flee until we recognize our own weakness. Thirdly, may I say, it is smart to flee before destruction already comes. I flee unto thee before destruction comes. David did not wait until he was until it was over. He did not wait until the danger was over to then try to flee. Listen, there's some of us, we've got to get some spiritual insight in our lives. We've got to get spiritual insight. We've got to get some foresight. You've got to start opening your eyes and realize, you say, well, where I'm at right now is not going to mess me up. Maybe not today, but you're on a path that in 3 days, you're in for chaos. You say, well, I'm safe right now. I'm glad you put that in there right now. But you're on a path. And that path is a path of destruction. And I'm just saying, why don't we flee unto thee before destruction comes? David did not wait until the enemy had him captive to try to flee to God's safety, but he fled before the captive. Listen, please, I beg of you. I wonder how many people waited until they were in jail to decide to flee unto thee. Here I am, stuck in jail, doing my time. I think I will flee unto thee. Let me tell you something, my friend. If you go to jail, and you're doing your time, and it took back to get your attention, flee unto God. I'm not telling you not to flee when you get there, but I am saying to every person under the sound of my voice, flee before you go to jail. Flee before you ruin your marriage. Flee before you lose your child. Flee before you mess yourself up and scar yourself for the rest of your life. Wake up! There's danger! Flee now! Flee on the outside, not on the inside of jail. Flee. When we flee to God in the face of spiritual danger, it may be the highest form of spiritual courage. So I'm not standing here and I'm going to take them on. I'm going to go get God. I'm going to get Grandpa. I'm going to get, hey, I want my dad in the cubbyhole with me. He said, I can handle this myself. You are set up to be the next victim. I'll do this. I can do that. Oh my, oh my, oh my. How dangerous that attitude. Real spiritual courage is faith in God, not in yourself. Don't try to prove your strength to man. Prove your faith to God. You know, while we can still flee, we should. While you've got spiritual sense, while you look at it, somebody here today, this sermon could save your life. I've not mentioned a particular sin. I'll let the Holy Spirit take care of that today. Somebody here, you better run. You better turn and hightail it and run. Run to God. Run away from that thing. Run away. Hey, somebody here needs to run away from somebody. They're going to take you down. Wake up. Shake yourself. Say, I ought to fear this. I ought to fear it. God, I can't take care of this. Some of you have somebody you're spending time with and you can't figure out how to be strong enough to pull yourself and to say no and to do right. If I were you, I would run. Run. Run now. Run while you can. Run before the tragedy hits. You see, we should run while we can still run. When David said, I flee, if you were to study that word, it actually meant he was fleeing. David said, I'm always on the run. Hey, yeah, a part of the male ego says, I ain't running from anything. Why? I have to tell you today, I'm running. You're looking at one running preacher, I've failed enough. I've seen enough failure. I am running from wrong. I am running to God. I fear some things, and I don't want to fall flat on my face because of me. See, David said, I'm always fleeing to God. I always have the attitude to get to God and to flee wrong. You ever heard someone say, "Ah, your church, Jesus, that's just your crutch"? They try to make us feel bad about that. You say, "Oh, Brother Owens, that Jesus is just your crutch." Yeah. That's right. You're trying to make me feel like a wimp. Because Jesus is my crutch. You don't make me feel like a wimp. I mean, who's your crutch? Is it your booze? Is it your drugs? Is it you? Yeah, he's my crutch. He's my cornerstone. He's the beginning, the begotten, the beloved, the branch, the bread, the bridegroom. He's the daysman, the dayspring, the daystar. He's the elect. He's the finisher of my faith. He's my God. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I depend on Jesus. I am not ashamed of the fact that I run to God. I'm not ashamed that when it gets heavy and it gets hard, I run to Him and say, "I'm hiding in here with you, Jesus." I'm not ashamed of that. You won't intimidate me away from running to my God, knowing that I need my God. Hey, I don't want to be intimidated away from realizing I'm a sinner and I can't do it by myself and I needed somebody to help me. If we're not careful, this humanistic philosophy of, you know, if you think you can, you can. I've got news for you. If God thinks you can, you can. But it's really not all up to you. We get to the point where man is so dependent on man, man's not even willing to be humble enough to say, "Can't do it, have to have God." But you have to have God. You have to have God. A man should not spiritually be like a deer. Those deer's eyes in the headlight that suddenly ends up as roadkill in some ditch of the highway of life. Open your spiritual eyes before the Mack truck driven by the devil smashes you. Flee to God. You know, animals sometimes endanger themselves because they are enjoying the food of life. An animal will stand in the middle of a road and eat, unconcerned that a Mack truck's coming at them 70 miles an hour. You've seen it. But folks, we're not animals. We're not supposed to be so caught up in all the pleasures of the flesh in our life that we're not paying attention to the fact that we might be being baited by the devil that hates your guts. We're to be smarter than a possum. Don't let the devil's delicacies of life taste so good to you that you do not escape the danger. You will end up being human roadkill on the devil's road of life. Proverbs 22, verse number 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." Hideth himself. Where? "I flee unto thee." I say to you today, David said, "I flee unto thee. I flee unto thee." Why? Because I see the danger. I flee unto thee because I recognize my own weakness. I flee unto thee before the destruction comes. I flee unto thee. Let me say this. Flee to Him for the comfort that you need for the trials of life. Nobody can comfort you like Jesus can. I have to tell you, your comfort is not enough for you. Your comfort is not enough for you. My comfort is not enough for you. The Comforter has come. That Comforter was sent to us and promised to us by the Lord Jesus Christ before He went into heaven. He said, "I'll send one. I'll send one down that will comfort you and will meet the needs of your heart." He said, "I will not leave you comfortless." Who was that? That was the Holy Spirit of God. The one that when you got saved, moved inside you, was sealed there. He's there for you. Let Him comfort you. John Chapman, one of our good men, we placed his wife in the ground this week. Brother John, flee to the Comforter. Flee. There's some of you, the comfort that you really desire is not going to come from somebody on TV, on the radio. It's not going to come from some human being. It's not even going to come from within your own personal character. You need to turn to your God and say, "Nobody right now can really help me like I need help with you." Flee to the Maynard family But Jim, flee. Flee to your God. Let Him comfort you about the death of your brother. We watched his brother be put in the grave this week. Flee to him. Patrick, flee to him. Flee to him. Lori, flee to him. Flee to your God. Say, God, I can't find anybody that can say the exact right words. Nobody makes me feel the exact way I need to feel. Nobody comforts me enough. Yes, indeed, that is true. So I say unto you, flee unto the Lord. Flee to Him. I think of our dear sister, Phyllis Wolford, who has just had a rough time. Had a gallbladder surgery, and it kind of went bad. And, oh boy, they took her back in and fixed her again. And it's just been a rough, rough time to the friends and the family of Phyllis Wolford. And I think Phyllis is going to be okay, but she's just been really bad sick. I say, flee unto the Lord. Dear gentleman of a man, Marvin Barrett, sit right back here every service, about four or five rows up from the back and on the aisle of Barrett this week, just keeled over. We don't know if it was a heart attack. We don't know everything that's happened. He lies now down at the hospital in Winchester, kind of teetering between life and death. And I don't say that to hurt the family. They know. We were there for a long time last night. Diane, I want to comfort you. Blake, I want to comfort you. Folks, I want to comfort you. I really do. I want to comfort you. A daddy, a husband, a grandpa. I'm probably going to let you down, though. But let me tell you something. You can flee. You can flee to your God and say, God, nobody really understands. Nobody really gets it all. Nobody knows the pain. Nobody knows what I'm going through right now. And we apologize as human beings. We don't know how to say everything right or do everything right, but I know one that won't let you down. Flee unto the Lord. Flee unto Him. Flee unto Him. Those of you that need comforted from the heartaches of life, flee. 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 Flee to your God. Flee to Him. Oh, I love it. Notice, David said, I flee unto thee. We flee unto Him. Why? Because we are confident in Him. Notice God. God is there. And David said, I flee unto thee. He was talking to God. He said, God, here I come. Here I come. Here I come. My wife was in the hallway the other day, and again, our granddaughter Alexandra come around the corner. She saw her grandma, and she started yelling, Mama! 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 And was running with everything she had to get to her grandma. Let me tell you something. You've got a Heavenly Father. He's in the same hallway of burden, heartache, and need that you have. Why don't you turn and just kick off a run and say, God, 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 you say, I would be embarrassed to approach Him like that. He says you need to approach Him with the faith of a little child. You need Him. He's far bigger than us. He's far better than us. He knows it all. He's got all the power. Hey, you ought to feel like a little kid in His presence. Who doesn't want? Which adult here would not like to crawl into Mom and Dad's lap and be comforted? Well, many of your parents are gone, but your Heavenly Father's not. No, some of you say, I don't understand that, but the ones, my earthly parents, I didn't feel the protection and the love that I needed. Well, let me tell you something. God's your Father. If you're born again, run toward Him. Hey, you say, that little girl you should see her, she stumbles. She doesn't run quite straight. She doesn't say it all quite exactly right. But that's exactly the way the human race is. When we're approaching an almighty, powerful God, we stumble. We don't say it just right. But we're going to Daddy, going to Daddy, going to Daddy. That's how we need to flee to our God. We're fleeing to God, to Thee, David said. David knew that he would be safe, sheltered in the arms of God. He fled directly to God. No detours along the way. Hey, don't try everyone and everything else first. Go right to God. He fled to Him quickly, not passively. He fled to Him in an eager way, with positive expectation, by faith, claiming the Scripture where Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Claiming the Scripture where He said, I will comfort you. I love you. I'm here for you. I'll take care of you. I'm bigger than your burden. Where the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. David went a-running thinking, I believe what you said. I believe you're waiting on me. I believe you've got something for me. I believe you can hug me. I believe you can comfort me. I'm coming, God. I'm coming. I'm coming. Flee unto thee. David knew to who he was fleeing. There David was, facing many trials and many heartaches. He says in Psalm 143, verse underlined, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee. Hide me." May I remind you, sometimes we want to pass judgment on one another and say, well, that person right there is going through that burden because of something bad that they did. Let me explain. Often in the Bible, there were people that faced burdens and heartaches, and it had nothing to do with something that they had brought upon themselves. It had to do with that God using them to teach their critics how to live. It may be somebody's going through a heartache right now so you can see how it's done. Those of you that look down your snout at somebody else is going through a tough time. You're not God. You don't know why anybody's going through anything. Maybe it is. Maybe it is God giving someone a spanking. But that's not your place to tell. It may be they're going through what they're going through because of you. Maybe they're tougher than you. Maybe God knew they'd suck it up and make it. Knew that your mamby-pamby critical negative ways, that if he put a burden like that on you, you couldn't make it. You couldn't take it. So somebody you're being critical of is going through a hard time because God knew you couldn't take it. So God put them through so you could examine it. Say, wow, that's how a Christian's supposed to live when the chips are down. Oh my. David said, "I flee unto thee to hide me. I flee unto thee because I see the danger." Remember, no man will flee if he's not afraid. "I flee unto thee because I recognize my own weakness." Nobody flees to hide if they think they're strong enough to fight in their own strength. "I flee unto thee before the destruction." And remember, even if the destruction's already hit, keep fleeing to God. You say, "Well, I don't think it could get any worse." Wrong. You're not thinking right yet. It can get worse. Flee now. Flee before the problem, flee during the problem, and flee after the problem. "I flee unto thee before the destruction." That's a wise way of doing it. Flee unto him for the comfort that you need. Nobody can comfort us like the Lord can. Nobody can. Nobody can. And remember, when you look to your right and it seems like they don't understand, you look to your left and it seems like that is not adequate, you can look up. He understands the pain and the emptiness and the hurt. And then finally, I said, "Flee unto thee," because my confidence is in thee. He fled. He fled directly to the Lord. No detours. He fled to him quickly. He fled to him eagerly with positive expectation. He finds himself safe and strong in the hiding place of the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 16, "He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. Its waters shall be sure." Let me make you a promise. When you flee to God, he'll be there for you. He will be there for you. Say, "But wonder if I was wrong." God's still there for you when you're wrong. God's not like the human race. The human race kills its own wounded. God's not like that. God will be there for you. When you sincerely turn to him and you say, "God, I need you. I need you. Nobody understands. I need you." Your God's still there. You know, we say, "Pray to him. Run to him." Truth be known, don't have to run very far. We get this idea that we wander away from God. Brother Ellswick, stand up for a second. You're going to be God. Crummy choice. You're going to be God. Brother Ellswick is God. Somehow the human race gets the idea that what happens is we turn our back on God and we get away from him. And we think we wander way, way, way away from God. And then sometimes the devil comes along and he fools you and makes you think, "Look how far God is. I'll never, never, ever get back there." Well, I'm sorry. You may turn your back on him. Well, he's not turning his back on you. So what happens is, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why they turn my back on him, but let me tell you what he does. He goes with me. I'm not looking at him. I don't know that he's back there. I don't care that he's back there. I'm living. I'm doing my own thing as a born-again Christian. But he's back there. He's back there. I feel further and further away from where I ought to be. But let me tell you something. If all of a sudden you say, oh no, God, I need you. I'm coming. He said, son, I never took my eye off of you. I was right there. I was there for you all along. I was there. I was there. He was there all the time. It is you and I that give that distance to the closeness of God. He said, when I saved you, I came inside you. I'm not leaving. Thank you, Brother Ellswick. God, the one to whom we are to flee. My God. If you're not saved today, I'd recommend you flee to God. You can't save yourself. He is the one that you should flee to. Salvation, it's a gift made available by our God. If you died today and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, my recommendation is that you flee to God. You say, how would I do that, Pastor Owens? In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. The pianist and the organist will come up, will close our eyes, have a word of prayer. The choir will stand. We'll all begin to sing. And then on the platform, we'll leave their seats and come down and stand down front at the end of an aisle. The whole congregation will be standing. And if you're not saved, what you do is you leave your seat. And you flee to this altar. Someone will take this old black book, the King James Bible, and show you how to be born again. You say, I'll save myself. You need to flee to God. Flee to God. Flee to God. Flee to Him now, if you're not saved. And if you're a Christian today, you're saved. Maybe you're going down the wrong path. I'd turn around and I'd run. Maybe somebody in here needs to flee to this altar. Flee to your God. Get on your face. Come back to God. Somebody needs to rededicate their life. You're away from God. It's time to flee back to God. Maybe somebody here today, you're carrying a burden or a heartache. Maybe one that we know about, maybe one that we do not know about. There are so many burdens and heartaches in this building, I only mentioned a few. Somebody needs to flee to this altar and get on your face and say, Lord, you're the only one that really understands. You're the only one that really understands. I'm here. I need you. Somebody just needs to be humbled. Somebody needs to remember back to the failures and recognize you're standing on your own two feet again when you should be depending on the Lord. Haven't you failed enough?